In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now as the little baby came to light, I had wanted to fly and take him by my arms, but the angels prevented me, saying that the honor of holding him first belonged to the mother, the Most Holy Virgin. As though shaken, returned into herself, and from the hands of the angel received the son into her arms. In her ardor of love, she held him so tightly that it seemed that she wanted to draw him into her womb once again. And then, wanting to let her ardent love pour out, she let him suckle from her breast. And in the meantime, I remained completely annihilated, waiting to be called, so not as to be scolded again by the angels. Then the queen said to me, "Come, come, take your beloved, and you too enjoy him, and pour out your love with him." Okay, so here, this is what Our Lady wants for us for this Christmas, to really begin to hold on to Jesus and to love him. Okay. So again, one of the things that's important is that you get a infant, a baby Jesus that you can hold, a baby Jesus that you can, you know, adore. It's essential that we understand what this Christmas season is all about. It's God becoming man. It's us adoring God. And finally getting ready for his return. Jesus is coming back, and he's coming with his kingdom. He's coming with his angels. And he needs us. He wants us to be ready for him. And how we can get ready is by really holding the Lord Jesus and really enjoying him, pouring out our love with him. As Our Lady was saying this, I drew near my mama, and she gave him to me into my arms. Who can tell of my contentment, my kisses, my squeezes, and tenderness? So again, this is what God is looking for. He's looking to be held. He's looking to be loved. How great our God is that each year the Church gives us this time to hold our God as we would a little innocent one. Volume 4, 8, 2101. As I was in my usual state, I found myself outside of myself after going round and round in search of Jesus. So she's praying around again and again. I found the Queen Mama and said, and oppressed and tired as I was, I said to her, "My most sweet Mama, I lost the way to find Jesus. I don't know where else to go, nor what to do in order to find him again." And while saying this, I was crying, and Our Lady said to me, "My daughter, follow me, and you will find the way in Jesus." So this is why we love Our Lady so much. She always brings us to her Son. If we follow Our Lady, we will find the way, and we will find Jesus. So if your life gets tough and difficult and God seems far from you, go to the Blessed Mother and talk to the Blessed Mother. And again, you'll find your way again, and you will find Jesus. Even more, I want to teach you the secret of how you can always be with Jesus, how to live always content and happy, also on this earth. So now we're receiving the secret from Our Lady, how to always live with Jesus as the saints live with him in heaven. Fix in your interior that there is only Jesus in you in the world and no one else. So again, that's one of the reasons why you will stop complaining. You will stop being upset. You will stop worrying. You have to fix in your interior that there is only Jesus and you in the world. A lot of people say to me after their spouse dies, "I feel so lonely, I'm so lonely, I'm so lonely." And I say to them, basically, because you're not with Jesus. You cannot be alone. You cannot be lonely anymore. You are always with God. And God is always with you. And he wants now for you to find him. And this is our job. To fix in your interior that there is only Jesus in you in the world and no one else, and that Jesus alone you must please, Jesus alone you must delight, Jesus alone you must love, and from Jesus alone you must expect to be loved in return and contented in everything. So why are you washing the dishes? Why are you combing your hair? See, this is what it means to be attentive. You want to please Jesus. You want to do everything for Him. I comb my hair for You, Jesus. I brush my teeth for You, Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, brush in my brushing. Come, Lord Jesus, comb in my combing. See, it's you want to, from Him alone, you must expect to be loved and returned and contented in everything. So again, this intimacy that Jesus wants with you, as I mentioned before, Jesus came to earth for a bride. Jesus came to earth to find a wife. And He wants to marry each person individually and as the church collectively. So look at Jesus, long for Jesus, fall in love with Jesus. Really be, you know, talking to Him about anything and everything. Make sure that He becomes the love of your life, even if you're married. See, and I tell the girls that want to get married, I tell the guys too, you want to find somebody to marry? Find somebody that loves Jesus more than they love you, and you will have a happy marriage. If you find somebody that loves you more than Jesus, it's going to be miserable. You have to find someone that loves Jesus more than they love you. And again, that's how we live, to love God with our whole heart, mind, and soul, and then to love our neighbor, our spouse, as we love ourselves. See, if a person loves Jesus, he will do everything to make sure that God is first. And again, this is what we need. We need to find souls that, and this is what Jesus is doing. In the divine will, He's leading us to souls that love Jesus more than anything. Jesus and Mary more than anything. And this is what God has breathed into Louisa. And this is why the Archbishop has asked us to become members of the family of Louisa. This is why. Because Louisa has the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. And that's what we want as well. Alone you must expect to be loved in return and contented in everything. And if you are in this way, Jesus, with Jesus, you will no longer be affected. Whether you are surrounded by scorns or by praises, by relatives or by strangers, by friends or by enemies, Jesus alone will be all your contentment. And Jesus alone will be enough for you in the place of everyone. My daughter, until everything that exists down here disappears completely in the soul, one cannot find true and perpetual contentment. So here, God wants us to understand that we are made for God. We are made to adore God and love God and praise God and thank God and worship God, glorify God. This is why we're alive. We have been created by God to be in His image and likeness, to become like God. That's what St. Augustine says. St. Augustine says, basically, God became man so man can become God. He also says, love God and do what you want, because everything that you would want to do is for the love of God, for the glory of God, for the praise of God. So, we have to begin to refocus our lives on Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And thank God we're Catholic. We have Jesus and Mary. We have the two of the three blessed. Blessed are you among women, Mary. Blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus, the Holy Eucharist. And blessed are you, Peter. Upon this rock I will build my church. So the three blesseds are what the protesters have protested against. They do not want Jesus in the Eucharist. They do not want the Blessed Mother. They do not want Peter. They don't want the Pope. Our life is to embrace Jesus and Mary and the Holy Father and to begin to live this Catholic life. Now, while Our Lady was saying this, Jesus came into our midst, and as though from within a lightning, and I took Him and brought Him with me, and I found myself inside myself. So here, again, a lot of this is from sacred scripture. Jesus, like a lightning bolt, as fast as a bolt of lightning, He comes to us. As a matter of fact, He says in the volumes that one day the kingdom will be here, and it will happen so quickly, it'll be as if by magic. And everyone will say, how did the kingdom appear? And Jesus will point, it is Louisa and the souls linked to Louisa who have brought the kingdom. So our job is to link ourselves with Louisa so that we can form the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, first in us and then in creation. What God is expecting of us is a great deal. He's expecting more from us than all the saints combined. All that the saints did combined cannot compare to a soul living in the divine will. So our Lord is asking us to do more than anything. And that's why in Volume 2, on the very first day that Louisa wrote, and on February 28, 1899, on Volume 2, Jesus shows Louisa, and Louisa then shows us, that you must begin this life of the divine will with the mystical marriage. You have to have the mystical marriage. Now, the mystical marriage is the highest order of any saint ever. You know, you have the great mystics of the church, St. John of the Cross, St. Teresa of Avila, St. Catherine of Siena, who received the mystical marriage. And then they died because there was no place else to go. So they had the mystical marriage within a very short time, a couple of years, they were dead because they received everything that they could possibly receive. And when Louisa was 17 years old, Jesus asked Louisa this proposal for the mystical marriage. And at 17, he said to her, where all the other saints ended their spiritual life, now I begin their spiritual life, Louisa. Then he told Louisa, go to bed and stay there. Now, Louisa could walk, but she sat in bed, and as another sacrifice, she never leaned up against the pillows for the next 64 years. And she didn't eat, drink, or sleep. The Lord asked her for her life so that the divine life can reign. Out of obedience, Louisa did this. Our understanding of Louisa becomes, we really fall in love with Louisa. None of us could stay in bed without being sick and then sitting up straight and not leaning against the pillows for 64 years. None of us could live without the Eucharist, I mean, without regular bread, regular food or drink. But Louisa did because she wanted to obey Christ, that Christ had planned that the divine will would be given back to mankind through a human. So it's not the Son of God's job. It's not the Mother of God's job. It was Adam's job, a human, to give this to his children. And since Adam fell, it took Jesus, the Son of God, Mary, the Mother of God, to come to earth to begin again where Adam failed, to start again where Adam failed, and to give back to mankind what Adam lost. And that's what they breathed into Louisa. Jesus and Mary breathed into Louisa. And now our God is asking us, do you want to participate in this life, this new life, this abundant life of Jesus and Mary, this life that Adam lost 6,000 years ago? Are you willing to desire it? So when we give our fiat, how glorious this is, that we begin to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. And see, when you live this life, there is no more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. We begin to live a life that Adam lived, the preternatural life. So again, our Lord is asking us, pleading with us, to embrace this gift so that we can begin to live again the life that Adam threw away. Again, we're supposed to be eternally young as God is eternally young. And so as Jesus keeps on saying to us, he says, I'm with you to the end of time. Our Lady keeps on telling us, you have to change before there is no time to change. We have to understand what she's saying. We're going to leave time, and this is where we're trapped in. We're going to have to enter into eternity. That's where we belong. So if we don't change when time comes to an end, we won't be able to change. There's no time for it. So God is asking us to do this now. That's why it's very important to be attentive. Be attentive so that we can enter into eternity and begin to live the life that God originally planned, that He gave to Adam, and Adam lost. So again, this is the true and perennial contentment that our God wants us to begin to live, this life of Jesus and Mary. This is why the divine will is so amazing. God gave it to a human. The Son of God and the Mother of God gave this to a human, Louisa, born of original sin. And now when we link ourselves to Louisa, we also possess it. So for us to possess the mystical marriage, it would be foolish for us even to think that we are even close to the mystical marriage. But with Louisa, if we link ourselves to Louisa, she possesses it, and then we possess it because of her. This is why Louisa is so important. You begin to live the mystical marriage. And that's why find a ring. Ask Jesus to go out and buy you a ring and wear it. You don't have to wear it on your fingers. You can wear it around your neck. But you're to remember that this is where we begin with the mystical marriage. We begin to be one with Jesus so that when He returns and comes for His bride, we are ready. We are ready for the Lord. See, there's great things coming. Don't let the devil's tail, which is causing trouble all over the place, frighten us as Our Lady crushes His head. But we have to get ready for the new heavens and the new earth. This is the whole reason for the divine will. We have to get ready for the glory of the church, the new springtime of mankind. This is what's coming. And our God has called us, chosen us to be alive at this time so that we can begin to live this abundant life. So don't throw it away. You know, but really begin to read and to study and to put this into practice. Don't be caught on, you know, words or phrases. Begin to understand what this Book of Heaven is about. It's going to transform our soul into living images and likenesses of Christ. It's the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. It's the Eucharistic reign of Jesus. It's everything that we've been longing for, and now it's going to come. So volume 4, 12602. This morning while being in my usual state, I saw an intermittent light before me, and I comprehended that in that light dwelt the Most Holy Trinity. See, you're going to experience things that are going to astonish you. And the closer you get to Louisa, the more you really begin to be linked to Louisa, the more unbelievable things God is going to show you. It's not the things of the world or the flesh or the devil. It's the things of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And this is what Louisa is showing us. I also saw the Queen Mother in front of that light. Our Lady was all absorbed in the Most Holy Trinity. And Our Lady absorbed all of the three divine persons within herself in such a way as to be enriched with the three prerogatives of the sacrosanct Trinity, of power, of wisdom, and of charity. See, it's divine power that God wants us to possess, divine wisdom that God wants us to possess, divine charity that God wants us to possess. It's not to understand things from a human perspective, but from a divine perspective. It's not just to touch someone humanly, but to touch someone divinely. See, the healings that are going to come through Louisa are going to astonish the world. This is why the relic card that you have, it's a very, very powerful prayer card. And many, many people have been healed spiritually, physically, mentally, and emotionally, even financially, through Louisa. And why? Because Louisa is not like anybody else. Father Bucci says she's unique in all the world. You have Jesus and Mary, the Son of God, the Mother of God. And now you have this human who possesses the qualities of Jesus and Mary. What is this about? Who is this Louisa Picaretta? And now God wants us to possess what Jesus and Mary possessed. Not just a virtual two that the saints had, but the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. Our God is so in love with us that he has saved the best for last, and this is what he wants to bring about. As a matter of fact, he said, the greatest gift that I gave to the Old Testament was Jesus' transfiguration on Mount Tabor. So there was Moses, there was Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. Then he said, the greatest gift that I gave to the New Testament was transfiguration on the mountain, and then transubstantiation in the Holy Eucharist. So what you have for the last 2,000 years is Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, the house of Nazareth. And now he saved that. I saved the best for last. Now he wants to give us transmutation. He wants to transmute us into himself. And that's why you have Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. So it's a progress that's happened, that God has given the greatest thing in the transfiguration, then the greatest thing in the and then the third is transmutation. And transmutation in the dictionary means the element is changed to a completely different element inside and out. So if you look at transfiguration, Jesus' outside is transformed, but the inside stays the same. Then you look at transubstantiation at the Holy Eucharist, the outside stays the same, but the inside is really the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ, if you want to say. And now transmutation is coming through Louisa. And that's the inside and the outside is changed to a completely different element. See, this is what God's got planned. This is why this great gift of the divine will, the Vatican's reading it, and the Vatican is saying this is amazing. And the Vatican wants to promote this, but there are some people who are saying you don't need to go to Holy Mass because you're living in the divine will. So the Vatican says, where does Louisa say this? There are some people to say that you don't have to pray the Holy Rosary anymore because you're living in the divine will. And the Vatican is saying, where does Louisa say this? And they're going through it a fourth time, trying to find out where people are getting this confusion. And the confusion is unfortunately done by lay people who, like the Archbishop says, there should be a priest directing it. Because lay people read this and they go, wow, this is so great, I'm living in the divine will. Not understanding that Jesus is talking to Louisa. And us, if we're linked to Louisa. But to live in the divine will, this is what Father Bucci says, anybody who says that they're living in the divine will are fooling themselves. Because to live in the divine will, you have to be free of sin. Now, I go to confession every week. And I don't know anybody that doesn't have to go to confession. All of us have to go to confession because we are not at that state yet. But we desire to live in the divine will, and we're studying this gift. So Jesus says, when I find souls that want this gift more than anything else, I'm going to give it to them. And until this point, there is not anybody who has wanted this gift more than anything else. And how sad it is for Jesus. But Jesus wants to give us this gift. He wants to fill us with divine power, divine wisdom, divine charity. He wants us to become like him. And so he's asking us, pleading with us, would you please read? Would you please study? Would you please follow the church? Be obedient to the church so that I can give you more and more and more. If we're disobedient to the church, God can't give you anything. If you don't have a spiritual director, St. Teresa of Avila says, if you direct in yourself, you will direct yourself into hell. So you need that objection. You need that to somebody to listen to you and to objectively understand what you're saying. Because we're too close to ourselves and we give ourselves the benefit of the doubt, like I said about confession. Most people come in and confess their spouse's sins rather than their own. And what we're supposed to do is we have to go through our life with a fine-tooth comb. We have to go through every aspect of our life. And this is what a spiritual director will help you do. You're missing this. You've got to add that. You're doing too much of this. It's all that is just it's trying to balance you out so that the divine will can reign fully. This is what God was looking for. So Jesus says, it's just as God's love mankind as part of, and just as God loves mankind as part of himself and as a particle that came out of him and ardently desire that this part of himself return into himself. So the Queen Mother, participating in this, loves mankind with passionate love. So again, God wants us to come back to him. It's full circle. We have left God. We have left the image and likeness of God because of Adam's sin. And now God wants us to turn back so that he can fill us with himself. Again, this is what the divine will is all about. This great gift of the divine will is ours, and the only way to live in it is with fiat. Fiat, let it be done to me as you say. The fiat lux was the first one, let there be light. The fiat mihi of the Blessed Mother was let it be done as you say. And now the fiat voluntas tua, which we're supposed to be living, is may your kingdom come on earth in me as the saints possess it in heaven. So it's the third fiat that our God is asking us to begin to live. Volume 4, 24:02. As I was in my usual state, the Queen Mother came and told me, my daughter, my sorrows, as the prophets say, were a sea of sorrows. And in heaven, they have turned into a sea of glory. And each of my sorrows has borne the fruit of as many treasures of grace. And just as on earth they call me Star of the Sea, because I guide them to the port with certainty, in heaven they call me Star of Light for all the blessed, because they are delighted by this light that my sorrows produced. So again, we see that, we go through sorrows too. We go through physical, spiritual, mental, emotional sorrows. I think mothers go through more sorrow than men. As a matter of fact, in Israel, there's a vial that the women wear, and they collect their tears when they start to cry. They collect their tears in this vial, and they carry it around their neck. And when you listen to sacred scripture, where Mary Magdalene washed Jesus with her tears, it was the vial of tears that she carried around her neck. The sorrow that she went through, the sadness that she went through. And the tears of a woman, the tears of a mother are very, very precious to God. They're never wasted. So when a woman adds her tears with Our Lady's sorrows, as she says here, the sorrows will produce this great abundant light. Don't think that your tears are wasted. Your tears are very precious to God. And like Mary Magdalene, we link our tears with our Blessed Mother and wash the feet of Jesus. To adore him and to love him and to praise him and to thank him and to glorify him. Again, it's very, very important that we understand that tears are a sign of the Holy Spirit. And if you're going through great sorrow, great suffering, great sadness, the tears that you shed will be used in a glorifying manner if you link them with Our Lady. Volume 4, 110-03. This morning, after much hardship, the Queen Mother came with a baby in her arms and gave Jesus to me, telling me to keep him courted with continuous acts of love. So here, every heartbeat, every breath, every eye blink, every gaze, everything that you do with a continuous act of love. I adore you, I love you, I praise you. So you have to become attentive to why you are doing things. Scripture says those that talk all the time show that there is no real soul there. they're just talking. But those that are quiet, that's where the soul is meditating on God, talking to God and communing with God. So again, we have to learn not to be talking, but to become silent. See, we hear God in silence. That's why a lot of times when we finally fall asleep, God speaks to us, because we're not interrupting Him with our talk. You know, when we're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, the silence that is there, God, we will hear God say to us how much He loves us. You know, this is, again, it's so important that, see, the devil knows. So he's caused, you know, radio, newspaper, magazines, television, internet, to be talking, to distract us from the silence. But if we can turn off our TV, if we can turn off the radio, and be in silence, every one of us should have a prayer room, a place where we can go to pray, where there's no TV, there's no radio, and just to be alone with God. Maybe a beautiful picture, maybe a beautiful crucifix, where we can just be alone with God. That's why Jesus says, go to your room and close the door. You know, pray privately. And what God hears in private, that's what He rewards the person for. So again, our life isn't to be part of this earth with this noise. It's to enter into this aloneness with God, the silence with God. And every house should have this. You know, you should be able to have just silence where God, so God can speak, so we can begin to hear God. I did as much as I could, and while I was doing it, Jesus told me, my beloved, the most pleasing and consoling words for my mother are Dominus Tecum, the Lord with thee. In fact, as soon as they were pronounced by the archangel, she felt the whole of the divine being communicated to her. And therefore, Our Lady felt invested with divine power in such a way that in the face of the divine power, her own power dissolved. And so my mother remained with the divine power in her hands. Let's just think of that. The human was gone, and now divine was there. Now that's what God wants to do with us. You have to begin to see things from Christ's perspective. Now the Holy Church teaches us this. You know, in 1968, we were given Humani Vitae. Basically, what it means to be human. And the Church said no. The world said no. If we had listened to the Vicar of Christ, Pope Paul VI, who wrote Humani Vitae, what it means to have human life, we would now be living divine life. But because we rejected human life, he said two things. Number one, abortion would happen and euthanasia would happen. In most hospitals, the elderly are over-morphing to death in most hospitals. You know, and in where we're killing, 4,000 babies a day in the United States. See, because we were disobedient to the Church, to Christ, thinking humanly, well, I don't want any more children, and I want to use contraception, and I don't want these old people to suffer. What happens is that you lose the divine understanding. So the Church teaches us how to think. And if we are faithful and obedient to Christ and His Church, then we are thinking the way Christ thinks. We're thinking divinely. And this is why, you know, it's so important that we follow what the Church teaches. If we go on our own, we've started our own faith. Maybe it's not 100% Catholic. So the Church teaches us, the Church guides us, the Church leads us. And unfortunately, most people say, I don't need the Church. I'm talking to God, and God's talking to me. And that's the sad part. Because 10 times out of 10, it is not God. You need the Lord His church to lead and guide us, Holy Mother Church to lead and guide us. And when we do that, how happy we become. Otherwise, it's a miserable life that we live. But when we have the church guiding us and leading us, how happy we are. Volume 5, 6:30-03. I was outside of myself, and I saw the Queen Mother prostrating myself at her feet. I said to her, "My most sweet Mother, in what terrible constraints I find myself, deprived of my only good and of my very life. I feel I am touching the extreme." So she's without Jesus. See, this is the thing about Luisa. Without Jesus, Luisa felt she was dying. Luisa was so close to Jesus that he was her life. And when she didn't see him, she felt like she was dying. She couldn't exist. You look at the children, you know, who have apparitions today. And they say, "Oh, Our Lady's so beautiful," but they can continue. See, what Luisa had was something that was unique. She saw Jesus. She was with Jesus. He was her life. And when she didn't see him, she said she felt like she was dying all the time. So when she complains, how sad I am that you're not around, it's because she has no life in her. She has to see Jesus to be alive. That's how close she was to Jesus. So she says, "And while saying this, I was crying, and the Most Holy Virgin opened herself at the place of her heart, as if she opened a tabernacle, took the baby from within her heart, and gave him to me, telling me, 'My daughter, do not cry. Here is your good. Here is your life. Here is your all. Take Jesus, and keep Jesus always with you. And as you keep him with you, keep your interior gaze fixed on Jesus.'" So that's the same thing what Our Lady says to us. And this is why it's so good to read this. Because as what Our Lady and Our Lord say to Luisa, they say to us as well. First to Luisa, because Luisa did it. And then to us, to help us continue. "Do not be embarrassed if he does not tell you anything, or if you are not able to say anything. Just look at him when you're interior. And by looking at Jesus, you will comprehend everything. You will do everything, and you will satisfy for all. This is the beauty of the interior soul. Without voice, without education, since there is no external thing that attracts her or upsets her, but all of her attention and all of her goods are enclosed within her interior, by simply looking at Jesus, the soul easily comprehends everything and does everything." So that gives us a clue at Holy Mass when the priest holds the host up. Just by simply looking at Jesus, you will comprehend everything and do everything. When you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, the monstrance, just by looking at Jesus, you will easily comprehend everything and do everything. See, it's very simple. You gaze upon the Lord, and the Lord gazes upon you. And that's the same thing like the crucifix. Remember St. Francis, when he was gazing upon the crucifix, he received the stigmata. Remember Padre Pio, when he was gazing on the crucifix, reading what some people are saying in the Book of Heaven, he received the stigmata. See, that God has got great plans coming. And all he needs is for us to cooperate. "In this way, you will walk to the top of Calvary, and once we reach it, you will no longer see him as a baby, but crucified. And then you will remain crucified together with him." So, what are we crucifying? We don't want to give life any longer to our worry, our fear, our anxiety, our complaints, our negativity, our sin. We don't want to give life to that. So when it rises up in us, we say, "No, Mary, we will walk to the Calvary together. It will be you, it'll be the Blessed Mother, it'll be Luisa to go see Jesus." And as you get to there, what you want crucified, no more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. "I want to live a life of heaven, peace, joy, and happiness. I want to live a life of God, peace, joy, and happiness." So again, the consequences of being crucified with Christ is peace, joy, and happiness. This is what God wants for you. But if you're going to be miserable, you haven't crucified your human will to the cross with Jesus. See, it's freeing to follow what Jesus taught Louisa. You become filled with joy. So it seemed to me that the baby in my arms and together with the Most Holy Virgin, we walked the way of Calvary, and while walking at times I would find someone who wanted to take Jesus away from me. See, these are the people that might annoy you. And I would call to the Queen Mother, this is amazing what we do, to my help, and saying to her, "My mama, help me, for they want to snatch Jesus from me." So if you don't have Jesus, you're miserable. And so you cannot let miserable people take Jesus away from you. You can't do that. Immediately go to the Blessed Mother and say, "Help me." And she would answer me, "Do not fear. Your care must be in keeping your interior gaze fixed on Jesus." So that's where we give our fiat and everything. I want to be focused on Jesus. I do not want to be distracted. This is so much power that all the other powers, human and diabolical, remain debilitated and defeated. So when you're fixed your eyes on Jesus, how glorious this is, how wonderful this is. But again, you have to put this into practice. Okay, you can read it, but now you have to make it your life. So the next time you get upset with somebody, it's, "Oh, Mary, don't let them take Jesus from me." And the power, she says, by fixing your gaze on Jesus, is so great that nobody can interfere with you, not even the devils themselves. So again, it's God is teaching us through Jesus and Mary how to live this life that they taught Louisa. And as we link ourselves to Louisa, as we begin to read, study, and to put this into practice, your life changes. Nobody can make you angry. Nobody can make you miserable. You have to, like she said, make sure that you and Jesus are alone. There's nobody else. And again, how great that is for us as we begin to continue to live this life. So we'll end there in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and we'll meet in about 15 minutes.